Last week, we did a recap of sorts to remember some of the huge things the Lord has been so faithful in showing his people and how he's preparing a remnant right now. He's preparing a remnant to be used in these days ahead, to be used as a rapid deployment force. And I'm borrowing that term from Lauren, a rapid deployment force, because he is going to give us a fresh anointing, oil, the Holy Spirit to flow unhindered in this body. We remembered tabernacles, the submission of the petition for judgment, and that we're to be first to be judged as a house of God. It begins in the temple and outward. The Lord emphasized over and over since tabernacles how we're going to be tried, tested, and proven. That's the key word here. Proven during this heavenly trial going on right now. And he keeps bringing Job to mind this week. I talked to a few people about, remember Job? Woo, wee. Bragging on Job before the devil. Oh, the devil said, pfft. He said, go ahead. Go in there. Try him. Test him. Praise you, Lord. The last few days, the Lord's been prompting me to go back. Go back, he's saying, to remember our identity in Christ. He's been telling me, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And then the last two nights, and then during the day, but during the night, even last night, I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say throughout the night, are you ready to die? If you keep titles to these messages, this is it. This is what the Lord's saying to us right now. He's asking, are you ready to die? Before I go further in that, I got a huge confirmation this morning when I saw our sister Jody had left a quick voicemail for me. It was, I think the message itself was like a minute. In it, she said she was going to read something that the Lord had put on her heart early this morning. And she said she knew it was just the tip of what God wants to show. Then she read what he had given her. And let me just quote that. It's just two or three sentences here. Quote, he said, we seek to be free from the bondages upon us. But could it be the fact that we do not fully know who we are in Christ? Could that be the bondage itself? Does it not hold us back from being all the Lord's called us to be in him and his plan for us? That's the end. I answered back, absolutely. We must remember who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's been reminding me of all week. And then told her what else the Lord had added to that last, you know, that message the last couple of nights by asking, are you ready to die? Before I share further with that, we'll do a quick overview of our identity in Christ Jesus. Now that is so rich because he's been speaking, sharing, having us go through many things this last year or two since he began to ask that question. I'm going to just read a few verses here. We'll start out by asking that question again this morning. Remember when he said, who are you? And we'll see what the Word of God says about you and about me. This is if you are a begotten one. As a begotten one, we are being raised up, a temple made without human hands. The Father's preparing a people, a bride for the full indwelling of his Son, our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And this body is being purified, made clean and white, all the spots, all the wrinkles taken away. His begotten ones are no longer just mere men. We're now citizens of heaven, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. Sin and death no longer have dominion over us, 1 Corinthians 15. Read the whole chapter, but 55 to 57. Because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Our debt is paid in full. We've been redeemed by his blood. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. So where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Jesus has been highly exalted and given a name above all names. And at his name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess, right? That he is Lord. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. When God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. And he's put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church. That's in, didn't write it down, but that's in Ephesians 1. And then in Ephesians 2, Jesus' position of setting as head over all that exists, it greatly affects us, his begotten ones, because we are in him. We are in Christ. Ephesians 2, 4. God, who is rich in mercy, he's made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God's raised us up with Christ. And he's made us sit with him. He has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Not only is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father and given authority over all things, but we are seated with him. And notice Jesus has been appointed to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. We're the fullness of Jesus in the earth. And that's in Ephesians 1:23. He's head and we're his body on the earth. Do we comprehend that? Woo, that's why we're always supposed to be looking up at him, our head. We're acting on behalf of Jesus in the affairs of this life. That's what our role is as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. The victorious ones. When we realize and understand our position and identity in Christ Jesus, we can walk this earth in his victory. He has made us more than conquerors, Romans 8:37. Jesus said he's given us authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. That's in Luke 10:19. It's a done deal. Jesus has already won the victory for us. We just need to walk in it. We're to be enforcers of his victory. This is huge. We're to be enforcers of his victory. Once believers, once you and I awaken to our identity in Christ Jesus, we realize how complete the plan of redemption really is. We understand there is no war to be waged against Satan and his hosts because they've already been dethroned, conquered, deprived of their power. The church is the triumphant one in Jesus. No more defeat for the body of Christ. Because as he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. Now that's for those that are walking in their identity in Christ Jesus. Our job is to stand in the victory. Christ has already won over the adversary, to be enforcers of that defeat with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We're to go forth in the name and by that authority of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Wow. That's our identity. So that's who we are and the authority he's already given us. So let's go a little further. How to walk in. I mean, we know that part about they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we know there's a huge, where it's specifically saying that is that huge innumerable multitude that shows up mid-trib. We're the forerunners of that. First fruits. Remember the question last week. What's your kryptonite? What is it the devil can pull out of his bag to paralyze you, pretty much paralyze you for a time? Is there anything? Can you and I yet say, oh, the devil's coming, yeah, the enemy, and he has nothing in me? That's what we have to get to that point, guys. What is your kryptonite? Is it bad news? Certain type of bad news? Is it maybe a disappointment that hits you in the face? Maybe taking something personally? We can fill in the blank. I can fill in a lot of stuff there that I can list through the years where the devil could sideline me for whether it be a few minutes, hours, days, however long. I've been shown a couple areas that I thought I'd already put on the altar. But what God's showing is that in general, here's our kryptonite. It's your own lusts. It's your own. It's my and your own will. Your desires. Your hopes. Your dreams. And it doesn't mean it's wrong. You can have some amazing hopes and dreams, expectations, right? Whether it be in other people, or God has told you something. This, I'm thinking of one thing in particular for me. God has shown me some time ago something that is going to be done. He didn't tell me when, didn't tell me how. But every time the devil wants to kind of throw something up, I'll think, oh, is this it? In the past, my eyes would be pulled away to look. Oh, is this what? Oh, is God doing it now? That's none of my business. I've put that on the altar. I've given it over so that I could turn and follow him completely unhindered, completely focusing on him. Think of this. We have the example of Jesus himself when he asked the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father, is there any other way that this cup could be taken from me? But he quickly said, nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. Think of that. Jesus had to die to self first, before the ultimate plan of God could be carried out through him. In essence, when he made that statement, sure, that was, that was a desire he had. Oh, could this cup, Lord, if there be any way, remove this cup from me. That was a desire. Oh, that was a hope. That was a request. And he quickly put that to death, didn't he? He took that nail and hammered that last nail, in essence, into the cross because he gave up his own will. He gave up. He died to self completely in the garden before the ultimate plan of God could be carried out through him. That's what God's calling upon us right now. Are you ready to die? I'm going to share what the Lord showed and how this applies to us. I mean, I think a lot of you know, but the Lord said some things to me. And I looked it up, what he had said. And I'm going to only read just a few little excerpts from this post. And it's on the website and it's called, Are You Ready to Die? What happened, it was back in 2017, it was during a prayer meeting. And we were all knelt down. I mean, there was some heavy duty stuff going on, and I can say in my life, I was seeking him as never before. I think probably everyone on this call is doing that. But we all knelt down. We were submitting ourselves to the Lord as a group that night. And I remember we told him as a group, but I told him personally that I was bringing everything, all before his altar. And I asked him to empty me of everything that didn't belong. Empty me of all of myself so that I could be filled with him. I was totally asking him. I was giving him my heart. And here's what he said. He began to speak. He said, I am holy. Be you therefore holy, even as I am holy. Nothing unclean can stand before me. You must be a living sacrifice. Are you ready to die? That's what he asked me. When the Lord asked this, I said, yes, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me as it pleases you. Now, guys, I meant every word at the time. I did. I was pouring my heart out. I was on my knees. And he said, are you ready to die? He said, you must be a living sacrifice. Are you ready to die? And I said, yes, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me as it pleases you. Now, at the time, I didn't have an idea the depths of what I was asking and what it would take, right, in order to be emptied of myself and filled with him. Wow. Wow. But I'm telling you, it was just a couple months later when trials began to just hit my life like nothing I'd ever experienced up to then. Marriage, finances, family, friends, even my health at the time. And then in the midst of it all, here I was in the car and I was driving to go to a prayer meeting at the same people we would rotate homes. I began praising the Lord, but I was in such agony, guys. I was in such agony and sorrow. And I was praying in the spirit because I didn't even know how to praise him at the time. It truly was a sacrifice of praise. And suddenly, all the impact of all those calamities were swirling around me. Everything, I saw them dumped on me full force. And I felt intense pain. I felt intense sorrow well up in my spirit. And I literally was groaning in the car in agony and gut-wrenching pain. And it reached a level I couldn't even contain. All I could do was groan, and it began to come out of my lips in screams. I was screaming in the car. Every fiber of my being was screaming out. So there I was driving down the road, tears, groaning, screaming. My heart was completely crushed and broken. I was crying out to the Lord, and then he interrupted me And he said very loudly, dying is not easy. Oh man. It's not easy. Those words really, he's bringing those back. Are you ready to die? Because this is the real deal now, guys. This is it, isn't it? And I saw myself at the time bowed down before him like I had been doing those months before. That's when he let me see what it meant, what I was asking him, and that he was indeed answering my prayers. And then I saw a vision of Jesus was on the cross. He showed me, I was in the car still. He showed me a vision of him on the cross. And here's what he said. I heard him say, you must be crucified in Christ. And then he repeated again, I am holy. Be you therefore holy. Even as I am holy, nothing unclean can stand before me. So here he is telling us, as he's been doing now, he's got to clean everything out of us. We've got to be emptied of self. He says, you must be a living sacrifice. Are you ready to die? He was enforcing that, reminding me of what I'd ask him. And then it was sometime after that, he showed me, and I wrote that, I think it's in the same article, but he did reveal something about his people. He said, my people are not asking me to finish the work I've begun in them. This final work may only be done with their permission. So he's asking us today for permission to finish the work, the crucifixion process in us. Now I'm going to read something. It's A.W. Tozer, and that's in that article as well. It's in the book, The Pursuit of God. It's just a paragraph here about this crucifixion process. Self is the opaque veil that hides the face of God from us. I'm going to repeat that. Self is the opaque veil that hides the face of God from us. It can be removed only in spiritual experience, never by mere instruction. There must be a work of God in destruction. I'm going to repeat that. There must be a work of God in destruction before we're free. We must invite the cross to do its deadly work within us. The cross is rough and it's deadly, but it is effective. It doesn't keep its victims hanging there forever. Guys, that's the good news. It doesn't keep us hanging there forever. There comes a moment when its work is finished and the suffering victim dies. After that is resurrection, glory, and power. I'm going to say that again. There comes a moment when its work is finished and the suffering victim dies. After that is resurrection, glory, and power, and the pain's forgotten for the joy that the veil is taken away and we've entered in actual spiritual experience, the presence of the living God. We go behind the veil. We enter that inner sanctum that he's been talking so much to us about. If the body of Christ is to be transformed into his image and likeness, we must die to self. And this is why Jesus told us in Matthew 16:24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake is the one who'll save it. Jesus really meant what he said. The Lord is asking our permission to finish the work he's begun in us. And his question remains, and he's saying it right now, this morning, to all of us. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to allow the cross to finish its work in you. It's not going to be easy. I want to, we have Pentecost coming up. I'm going to talk, God willing, about this, how it all goes into Pentecost. But there's something that he had shown me last year. Let me just say this. Pentecost symbolizes the same thing as Jubilee. Wow. That freedom, right? That freedom. Pentecost is Jesus' fulfillment of Jubilee. The Savior of the world coming to set the captives free. Everything the Israelites were and still are waiting on the coming of their Savior to deliver them, to free them from all their oppressors, is that great reset, that Jubilee, that reset, the reset, everything to what God intended. It's Pentecost. Pentecost. Jesus called it the promise of his Father. And he told them, remember, to gather, to wait, because he was going to send the promise of his Father upon them. Wait there until you're endued with power from on high. Remember his whole process that he went through to get to that point there in Gethsemane, when he submitted his will to the Father, he was willing to die. And now we, his bride, will enter into the Holy of Holies, that sanctum, as a dead woman, carrying his blood. But the resurrection. The resurrection. So I'm going to pray. Lord God Almighty, our great Creator, our Father, our Savior, our Helper, our Husband, our all in all, our Healer, everything. Oh, Lord God Almighty, we thank you. We truly praise you for all that you have done, the way that you have made for us to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that what you are telling us in this hour sinks deep within our very being, into every fiber of our being, that we truly bring everything to the altar, our very selves, that we bring our hopes, our dreams, our plans, our will, everything of ourselves, and to lay it down there at your feet. May our will be your will. Our desires be the desires you give us, not us. May we keep our eyes steadfastly on you, and not allow anything to distract us, to take our eyes off you for a second. Help us. Help us, Lord. Train us. We thank you for this final training, for the removing of every spot, every wrinkle, and reminding us what it's all about. You, your plan of salvation for us. What is your plan for us? To be used as empty vessels, as the body of Jesus Christ on the earth. Whatever that looks like, Lord. Here we are. Send us forth, Lord God. We just pray. I pray for forgiveness, for the blood of Jesus to cover us, to cover me, to cover this group, to cover, Lord, your people around the earth as we know, you've made it very clear that judgment begins with us. Thank you, Father, for this. This blessing from you. This opportunity. We just ask your Holy Spirit continue to move, to minister, to give us wisdom and understanding and revelation about the time we're in and what you're asking us. And that we need to give you that permission. Lord God, by faith, right now, I give you permission. Whatever it looks like, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.